Good afternoon, Central Texas. This is Tom McNew here again on the Armor of God Catholic Radio. Thanks for tuning in and joining us here in the St. Colby studio for our Hometown Heroes program. And today we have a guest of such elevated status, such significance, that I had to bring in some interview help. So I brought in a ringer, my beautiful wife, Anne-Marie McNew. Hello, Anne-Marie.
Hi.
She's going to help us out. We have the great pleasure of speaking today to another of our great pro-life champions, the current newly appointed executive director for Texas Alliance for Life, Miss Amy O'Donnell. Welcome to another episode of Hometown Hero.
Thank you for having me.
All right. We're going to, and I know many of our listeners are familiar and will recognize Texas Alliance for Life, especially all the great gang of people here throughout Central Texas that participate in the Walk for Life, which Armor God Radio is proud to be a sponsor of again this year. It's on Saturday, June 20th, mm-hmm. We'll talk more about that here in a bit. But there's a lot more aspects to Texas Alliance for Life that we want to talk about today. So, Anne-Marie, over to you.
Well, thanks, Tom. That was a great introduction. Welcome, Amy. I'm so glad that you could join us here in the studio today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here with you guys.
So we want our listeners to learn a little bit more about the new executive director for Texas Alliance for Life. We have a lot of donors and a lot of our volunteers who participate in the Walk for Life, so they're kind of familiar with Texas Alliance for Life. If you're listening today and you are not familiar with them, you can go to their website, TexasAllianceForLife.org, and you can learn more. But stay tuned for this interview, and hopefully that will get you your curiosity piqued. Tom was going to give me the words that weren't coming out of my mouth. Okay, so Amy, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and where you grew up and where you went to school?
Yes, I am Amy O'Donnell, as you mentioned. I grew up in San Antonio. I was not born in Texas, though, but like so many say, I got here as fast as I could. And I was born in Florida, and my parents were a preacher and preacher's wife, actually, in the Tampa community, and got divorced, sadly. And so my dad went back to Georgia, where his family was from, and my mom moved to San Antonio, where her family was from, and so we came here with her. And I grew up in San Antonio and then went to A&M and met a guy in Austin and ended up landing there when we got married. And I've been in Austin for 30 years this year. We've been married 30 years on May 18th. Thank you. And we have 4 kids, 3 boys and a girl. They're all in their 20s, 28, 25, 23, and 20. And our baby girl is the youngest. I call her baby girl. She's 20. She's texting me today about interviews for jobs coming up as an educator. She's about to go into her senior year in college in San Antonio, actually, at UTSA. And she's our baby girl, and I say a sheer result of my stubbornness, because I had to talk David into trying one more time, and we had to be okay either way, 4 boys or 3 boys and a girl. And so that's where we landed, and that was the bow tied on for our family.
Okay. So you've been involved with Texas Alliance for Life now for a while. Mm-hmm. I think we met you at a luncheon, 5 years ago, maybe? Mm-hmm. So when did you start? How did you get involved with Texas Alliance for Life?
I've always been pro-life as long as I can remember. I've been a Christian all of my life, too. And so I would say that the foundations of that come from my faith. But I do believe that God puts passions in our heart that are tied to what he calls us to do in life. And even in school, I was passionately pro-life as a high schooler, and I was kind of shy in high school, but I was outspoken on this issue, and I had friends that, you know, got themselves into unplanned pregnancies, and I would tell them where I landed on this, and they didn't choose life, unfortunately, and so I've had to navigate that. But despite the fact that I've always been passionately pro-life, I've also loved women who have made those those terrible decisions to not choose life and help to point them towards hope and towards healing. And so just compassion about that as well. And like so many things, we get involved because we get invited. And I had a friend that was on the board of Texas Alliance for Life and knew that I was a pro-life person and invited me to be on the board in 2009. So my youngest was 4 at the time. And I said yes. And I served on the board for 2 years. However, with my kids being the ages that they were, I didn't feel like I could devote the time and attention that I wanted to. And so I stepped away from the board and I stayed around. I attended some of the banquets. I attended some of the walks. I attended some of the rallies. And in 2018, I found myself in a transition out of my role at church in the women's ministry and kept thinking about a position I had seen online for communications director at Texas Alliance for Life. I left my role in the spring of 2018, and a month later, after I saw the listing online for communications director, I was still thinking about it 2 months later, 3 months later. I think I thought about it for 5 months. It stayed out there for 5 months. And finally, I reached out to Joe, who I knew because I'd been affiliated with the organization for so long, and said I'd like to apply for this position. And I sat through the interview process, and he hired me, and that was almost 8 years ago this August.
That was in 2017 is when we did our first Walk for Life out here in Harker Heights. So I must have met you at maybe the second luncheon I went to.
I think so. The first event I went to was a luncheon right after I found out that I was hired. And I remember walking in. It was at a Baptist church in downtown Austin. I was thinking, okay, this is my new gig, and here I am.
Do you have a background in communications at all?
I do not.
She's a mom. What more does she need?
I have a biomedical engineering degree. Can't say it. So there, no background in communications, okay. Obviously. No, I'm just kidding. I have a degree in engineering from Texas A&M. But I have always enjoyed writing and communicating. And in high school, I participated in the academic decathlon team. I was invited by the teacher leading it, who thought she saw something in me. It wasn't something I ever would have put myself out there for. And we made it to state from our 5A high school from San Antonio, and I got the gold in essay writing. And that was my first clue that I might
have
a future in communications. And it's just, I've always enjoyed writing. I've ghostwritten some books. I've written a book, a parenting devotional. And so I just enjoy communicating.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So is there any specific memory or something that you from that time when you first took on that communications role, the past 8 years, something that really stands out besides when you were asked to step up to be the executive director?
I think it's hard to beat being in the communications director seat, being trusted to speak on behalf of your organization in the midst of Roe being overturned. And up until the point that unfolded, I believe that was in, Roe was overturned in 2022, and I was trained as a communications director to do interviews and whatnot. I went to media training in 2021 or 2022. So literally was new at being allowed to speak on behalf of our organization. And it's a huge entrustment to speak on behalf of an organization like Texas Alliance for Life. And so it's very understandable that it would take several years of on-ramping, several years of training to really have that opportunity. But it was Joe and I fielding the interviews when Roe was overturned at initially with the leak, if you remember. Everybody probably knows where they were when that news came out that it might be overturned. I know exactly where I was sitting, who I was sitting with. And that's when the flood of calls came in. And we, for weeks, did back-to-back-to-back interviews, video interviews, phone interviews, Zoom in person. And it was nonstop weekends. We were getting calls. But it was exciting. It was such an, I said surreal at the time. Surreal is an overused word. But I still have yet to think of a better word to explain all of that unfolding and having the opportunity to speak on behalf of our organization, where somebody like Joe, who founded it and had been in that position for 37 years before I stepped in as executive director, had worked for decades to see life be able to even be fully protected. And so many people have been a part of the pro-life community for so many years, just tilling the ground and planting the seeds and doing the hard work. So for me to get that moment really it's amazing, but I don't take it lightly because I also recognize that it is built on the foundation of everybody who came before.
So let me jump in here then.
Okay.
So I know you also spent a whole lot of time during legislative mm-hmm. sessions. Describe some of that, you know, your interactions, not just with our elected officials, yes. but obviously a lot of people that on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah.
That you had to have conversations, hard conversations with a lot of times, I'm sure.
Yeah. So I have had the experience of going into offices where the legislators are supporting our bills and into offices where we know that they are opposed to our bills. But we go in and have the conversations anyway. And one of my goals personally is to be able to go into any office where anybody lands on any side of the life issue and have a conversation where I explain where we're coming from and why we believe that that legislation needs to move forward while still respecting the person and having the goal at the end of them thinking, wow, I really enjoyed talking to her. I really liked her, and I would talk to her again. Maybe we could even go to coffee. Not that I would go to coffee with all those people, but if I go into it with the mindset of everybody matters and I, again, have a chance to till the ground and plant seeds, we don't know how a conversation on one day is going to lead to somebody having a mind shift on something like the life issue 5-10 years down the road. Every conversation matters.
Yeah, yeah, and approaching everything with love.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Were you surprised when they asked you to step up to be the executive director? It was kind of a bombshell when Joe made the announcement that he was going to retire. And, I mean, it took everybody by surprise, you know. We're just leadership circle members, mm-hmm. Tom and myself. But for us, even, it was a big surprise. So what happened at the office that day that he made that announcement and then you stepped in to be the interim and – how did that all unfold?
Yeah, so internally, we, the staff, heard Joe say for many years that he would retire at some point. And of course, nobody knew when. And when the day came, it was somewhat unexpected. But like many things, there's often shifting happening when something like that happens, where internally you can see that it's coming. But externally, it would be a surprise because there's less people aware of just kind of the things that are shifting on the inside that would naturally lead to something like that. And so there, yes, that was Joe's complete decision to retire from Texas Alliance for Life and his timing and his way. And I was not immediately appointed the acting executive director, but not long after I was placed in that position while still serving as communications director and suddenly leading the staff up to a banquet, which is our biggest fundraiser of the year. So you want to talk about a season
where
I was like, okay, God, you have to lead. But the beautiful thing is that I don't have to do any of this in and of my own strength. And if I were to try, that would be my clue that I need to walk away because I'm only here by the grace of God and I'm fueled by the grace of God. And I every day spend time in the morning reading my Bible and just as a reminder that I have to stay tapped in and in tune to the Holy Spirit. And I'm simply a vessel. And if I let him work through me, then I can do even the hard things. And so yeah, that was a big ask, but I was very honored to be asked.
And then how did you go from the transition of being the interim temporary mm-hmm. executive director to being asked to be the full-time?
Oh, so yeah, so that was the other fun part. We had a search committee as a part of our board. We have a 19-member board. And everything is done in an orderly fashion. We have some amazing leaders on our board, and this was no different in that aspect. And so a search committee was announced, and then an application was put together with, I believe, a 40-question questionnaire. And I had to update my resume and go through the process like everybody else, including an interview with the board. And I was not the only person in the running being considered, but when they decided on me, it was unanimous at a board meeting. It was, again, an honor, but it was a very stressful time for me, again, to be communications director, acting executive director, heading towards a banquet, and then also doing the application and the resume and the interview. And so I took it on a day-by-day basis. And when it was decided in November 18th at a board meeting, November 19th was my first official day as executive director.
Wow. Talk about quick.
Yes. Yeah. A whirlwind.
Yeah. Well, at least you didn't have to give notice at your last job. So you probably knew what was, you know, on the docket for coming up with events and things, like you mentioned, mm-hmm. The luncheons and the banquet and obviously the Walk for Life, all these different events that TAL sponsors, hosts. Mm-hmm. And how was that transition from going from the communications director to executive director?
Well, I was still serving as communications director, too, there for a while. So operating as both. I have the privilege of having a great communications associate on our team that I brought on before the banquet. And my former communications associate had stepped away from Texas Alliance for Life. And so I had to ask her to come back and run the communication side of things for the banquet, train the new hire so that I could really trust all of that to go well in order to speak and oversee the event as a whole. And I have event experience. I used to run our women's conferences at our church and work with the staff and work with the volunteer teams. And I've led volunteer teams and raised up leaders. And so from that perspective, it wasn't a new experience for me. I understand that logistically, a lot of pieces have to come together for an event of that size. And so it was kind of putting that hat back on. But we have a phenomenal team. And we heard so much wonderful feedback about our banquet. It was one of our biggest attendance numbers historically and our third highest revenue-wise in the last 12 years. Wow. And so results are everything. Yeah. So we do the work. Of course, God brings the results. But it's really good to see that the hard work pays off and people trust the organization to give and be a part of what we do.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
Let me jump in here again. So at the risk of sounding critical, and I'm not trying to be, but talk a little bit about the difference in, you know, Joe was in charge for 37 years. Mm-hmm. He started the organization.
Yes.
He had the organization had developed a culture around his leadership style. Mm-hmm. So do a little compare and contrast now. What's the difference between Dr. Joe Poyman and Amy O'Donnell's style of leadership?
We have the same passion. We care about protecting life. And so common ground there, but we are very different leaders. And Joe is more of a hands-on leader where he likes to have his hands in every pot. And delegating, I would say, it was not something that was a natural strength of his. And he liked to just manage into the details. And so I would often have conversations with him, and I don't mind saying this publicly because I would tell him the same thing, like, you need to hand things off. Let us help you. You should only be doing the things that you should be doing, and if we can take some of this off your plate, then you would be able to do even more. And so I often encouraged him in that. And now that I'm in this role, especially having come from a church background, I'm passionate about raising up leaders and raising up teams. And I recognize that I have a responsibility to really empower everybody on our staff to step into their roles, to delegate to them, to give them a level of ownership with oversight where they do the work and I can still check it, but I'm not micromanaging the details and really empowering them to have the keys to drive the cars that they've been brought on the team to drive. And so, so that's been very positively received, but my goal for Texas Alliance for Life 10 years from now is for the organization to be known and respected, not based on who I am, but who the organization is as a whole. And because of that, I've already told our team that I'm training them on how to communicate and to really think critically and quickly so that when we get to the legislative session and they have opportunity to testify in committees, I'm going to have more people involved in that. It's going to be a training process. And people need to see more people speaking and leading on behalf of Texas Alliance for Life. And if I do my job well and kind of give everybody that opportunity, then we're that much stronger of an organization. It should never rise and fall on the leader.
Amen.
And it's the life issue. And so that's my goal. And so I'm really excited about that because I love, as much as I love life, I love training people and leading leaders.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And I swore that I was going to let you do this, and I just can't help myself.
That's okay.
And I apologize.
That's okay. Go ahead, Tom.
So it must have been a tremendous help to you again, in that transition, mm-hmm. knowing that really you're, and again, I'm hearkening back to the legislative function of your role as a communications mm-hmm. director, but seeing Joe in action mm-hmm. for 8+ years or yes. so, that had to be a little bit of helpful for you to see, okay, here's what's kind of expected and here's where I want to go mm-hmm. As the leader of this organization.
Mm-hmm. So much of what I know I learned from Joe, especially legislatively, and we have to register as lobbyists. There's such a bad understanding of lobbyists, and you know, people don't recognize that lobbying is a good thing. And if you even go to the Capitol to work on legislation for the life issue in the capacity that we do, you're required to register as a lobbyist. But I say I lobby for babies on donor dollars, and there's nothing more beautiful than that. And there's an art to it, a finesse to it. And all of that I learned from Joe. It's being prepared when you go into a meeting. It's having the information that you need to have. It's knowing the talking points that you want and need to communicate. It's knowing how to answer questions if they come your way, how to redirect something if it's going the wrong direction. And Joe is very good at getting to know the legislators and really moving legislation forward. He's had a lot of experience with that. And so I've had the opportunity to work through 3 sessions with him. I'm counting back. I believe it's 3. And so this one, I will still work with him in a different capacity. Now he's in a new role as president of Texans for Life. And I'm, of course, the executive director of Texas Alliance for Life. We work very closely with the Texas Catholic Conference of Bishops. And then we'll be working closely also with the Texas Baptist Christian Life Commission. And so we have a partner group where we will come together. We're already meeting to determine what our legislative priorities are. We'll be communicating on those directly. So we all shifted hats, or at least some of us shifted hats, and here we still are at the table. But absolutely so much of what I know I learned from him.
And our military brothers and sisters will understand the idea of knowing your enemy. Mm-hmm. And I want to use that. I'm not trying to be pejorative.
Yes.
But understanding that this representative has a different idea mm-hmm. than this representative, and being able to, as you said, redirect a conversation mm-hmm. and having those talking points and knowing that, hey, I'm not going to talk to, you know, Bob Jones, who's a big pro-lifer. I'm mm-hmm. going to talk to, you know, Steve Smith. I apologize if there's a Steve Smith listening. But, you know, that is not right. necessarily a big pro-life champion. And so having your ducks in a row mm-hmm. Really makes a huge difference. So here we are. We are actually recording this on primary election day. Mm-hmm. So what's next for the organization?
Yeah, so we are working towards the Republican Party of Texas State Convention that's coming in June, and we are working on resolution that was said with a little bit of a Texas twang. We're working on language for people to present at their precinct conventions and then their Senate district conventions and then the state convention to shape the life issue in the Republican Party of Texas platform. There's a lot of differing ideas out there on the best way to protect life in Texas, the best course to take, and we want to make sure that we keep the language in there sound, reasonable, and compassionate. And so we actually have already finalized our language. We're in the process today of sending it out. Some of the precinct conventions could happen tonight on Election Day. Mine is this weekend, and I'll be involved in that process as well. And then, of course, our Walk for Life is coming up. That's our second biggest fundraiser of the year next to the banquet. So we're working towards that as well.
And we're excited that we'll be hosting again a team from Holy Family Catholic Church over at the Harker Heights Park mm-hmm.
Saturday, June 20th, right?
Yeah, Saturday, June 20th yep. with all the other churches in the area. So if your church hasn't participated before or if you're interested in getting a team from your church so that you can walk for life, you can contact TexasAllianceForLife.org mm-hmm. and get all the information that will be up on your website soon, I'm sure.
Yes. Yeah. We're in the process of just finalizing a couple of the details to get the marketing materials printed. But can I tell you, there is a location that sees Harker Heights as competition.
Uh-oh.
Cedar Park is out to get you guys this year.
It ain't going to happen.
It's already being talked about. They're already putting their goal out there, and they believe this is going to be the year. So I think it might be neck and neck between you guys. Here it is, as you mentioned, primary election day, but competition comes in many places. And I'm just letting you know that you guys are
step up our game.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've got your marching orders there, folks. We have to protect our battle space.
Yes.
We have to protect our success
crown.
And our crown. That's right.
You know, when you keep being number one, you are the target. So
That's right.
That's true. The bigger you are, the harder you fall.
Yeah, four-time champions or whatever, you know. We're like the Jordan era Bulls.
Yeah.
All right. We got just a couple minutes left here. So give us that website again one more time.
TexasAllianceForLife.org.
And that's F-O-R, not the number four.
Yes.
TexasAllianceForLife.org is the website where you can go and you can find out more. There's also ways in there for you to get more involved in the organization. And, of course, always ways for you to donate and support, not just with your treasure, but with your time and your talent as well. Thank you very much, Amy, for coming and joining us here in the St. Colby studio.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun.
Yeah, it was wonderful for you to come out and be with us today.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. And, folks, TexasAllianceForLife.org is the website. And be looking for the information about the Walk for Life. And
hopefully we'll see you on June 20th.
That's right.
Yes.
On June 20th.
Yeah, that's right.
Final thoughts here in our last, 30 seconds.
If you have not voted yet, can I say that?
Go right ahead.
If you have not voted yet, go do it. Life is always on the ballot, and we need the best candidates in the general. And so go let your voice be heard.
Amen. Amen. All right, folks, thanks very much for tuning in and joining us today. Thanks again, Miss Amy, for coming up here. Amy O'Donnell, Executive Director for Texas Alliance for Life. We will hear more from them in the very near future, I'm sure. Of course, we'll be involved in a Walk for Life come this June. Thank you all very much for joining us today here on the Hometown Heroes. And remember to put on the armor of God.